Hello and welcome back to the Dimer Show. I am your host, Nathan. This is a podcast where we talk about the NBA, the basketball world. I'm filming this about 10:30 Central Time on Thursday night. This podcast gets posted tomorrow morning, so every Tuesday and Thursday you guys will hear from me. And since our last post, we've had an eventful couple of days in the NBA. I wanted to briefly talk about, obviously, Luka's debut against the Mavs with the Lakers. Not debut, but, you know, his first game against the Mavs as a Laker. Want to briefly cover that. And then there are a few games, other games I want to talk about, and a few teams I want to talk about. So getting started with this Mavs-Lakers game. I mean, Lakers won 107-99. This really wasn't much of a surprise to anyone. I mean, the Lakers are up 16 at one point in this game. They were favored by 9 points. I mean, Dallas is just detrimented with injuries. AD, Gafford, and Lively all didn't play. And I guess Cody Martin, if you want to consider him a huge part of that team. Cody Martin's a good basketball player, but anyway. And I can't say I was really shocked to see this game. I am glad. I was questionable before the game whether or not Nico Harrison would be sitting in. I mean, obviously, I knew Nico Harrison would be at the game, but whether or not he was going to be sitting in the stands at this game. And I'm very, very glad he did. I saw this picture on the internet of Luka. I don't think he was staring down Nico Harrison, but he was, you know, looking his way in the stands. And yeah, man, Luka, he posted a triple-double, 19 points, 15 boards, 12 assists. Had 5 stocks, which was pretty crazy to see. I didn't get to watch the entirety of this game. But, I mean, you could say it was a little inefficient. 6 for 17, 1 for 7 from 3. Only had 2 turnovers. But LeBron was kind of the star of the show. 27 points, 12 boards. Went 11 for 17 from the field. Yeah, man. I mean, not much of a surprise in this game at all, like I said. Kyrie had 35 for the Mavs. I was pretty disappointed. Not disappointed, but I really kind of wanted to see Max Christie have not a revenge game, because, like, it's not at all like the Luka situation. Like, Max Christie has no real bad blood at the Lakers, but I just love Max Christie's game. I really can't help but root for him. He's been playing his ass off with the Mavs lately. He's been averaging, like, what, 13, 14 points a game with them. And that's been really cool to see. He didn't have a great game. Only 4 for 13 from the field. 10 points, like I said. But, I mean, yeah, that was an entertaining game. Got a little close at the end, which was nice. But the Lakers pulled it out, as we kind of expected. Kyrie kind of took over down the stretch, which is fun to see. But not much else to say about that game. And then last night, Wednesday, we had not a crazy slate, but we did have a 20-point Pistons win over the Boston Celtics at home in Detroit, which I briefly wanted to talk about. I mean, not so much about the game, but that was one of the teams I really want to discuss today, is the Detroit Pistons. So with this win over the Celtics at home, this was their 8th straight win in their last 8 games. And in those 8 games, they are 3rd in offensive and defensive rating efficiency, which is just crazy to me. I mean, the Pistons have been so good, and it's been so, so awesome to see. The only two teams in the league with a better offensive rating than the Pistons are the Cavs and the Nuggets. So they are up there in the competition, or not competition, but you know what I mean. Currently they sit 6th in the Eastern Conference, half a game behind at Milwaukee for 5, and a full game behind Indiana at 4. So, I mean, I kind of view this Eastern Conference as sort of kind of 3/4 tiers, maybe 5 tiers. Like, you got the Celtics, you got the Knicks, you got the, sorry, Celtics, Knicks, and Cavs. Like, that top 3 isn't changing. Order is the Cavs, Celtics, Knicks, but that top 3 is not going to change. I mean, those teams are going to stay there. Then you have the Pacers, the Bucks, and the Pistons, which are all going to be kind of they're all within a game of each other. That's going to be interesting how that folds out down the stretch of the season. Then you got Orlando Magic at 7, Miami Heat at 8, Atlanta Hawks at 9, all within a game of each other. But the Magic sitting at 7 or 5 games back of Detroit. I don't see them catching up. I don't see any of those three teams catching up to the Pistons and jumping out of that play-in spot. And then after that, I don't even know if I want to consider this a tier, but the Bulls, the Nets, the Sixers, and I guess maybe even the Raptors after getting Brandon Ingram. Those are the teams that are fighting slash not fighting to get that 10 seed in the play-in, and then the Hornets and the Wizards at the bottom of the Eastern Conference. But I think it'll be really interesting down the stretch to see what Detroit can do and how that all folds out, because right now they're as the sixth seed, they'd be playing the Knicks. And in all honesty, I'll get to this a little bit later, but I kind of like that matchup for the Pistons. I really wanted the Pistons to kind of be the main focus of this episode. I mean, like I said, 20-point win over the Celtics in Detroit. I didn't watch most of the game, but I watched back some parts of it on League Pass. And I mean, it was just awesome. Like, the atmosphere in Detroit was awesome. It was electric there. It really seems like the fans are fully bought in on this team. This is kind of like a side note, not necessarily basketball related, but it seems like there's been so much sports buzz in that city after like just decades of disappointment and disappointment. Like, the Lions are great now. The Tigers had their magical playoff run last season. I'm not really tapped into hockey, so I think the Red Wings are still bad, but I don't know. And now Detroit's the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference, and it's just been awesome to see for that city. And it kind of reminds me how much that city loves its sports teams, especially the Pistons, and how much these teams mean to the city. So yeah, man, that was just really cool watching that. I looked on this Pistons roster, and there's not a whole lot that I can hate. I mean, like, Malik Beasley, obviously, Sixth Man of the Year candidate, will probably go to Peyton Pritchard on the Celtics, but he's been playing very, very well this season. Cade right now is the front runner for most improved player. He's averaging 29 points and 10 assists on 46% shooting from behind the line in his last 5 games. All of which have been wins for the Pistons, which has been awesome to see. On top of that, serious candidate for an All-NBA team, All-NBA third team, most likely. And kind of carrying or continuing on that league re award category, JB Bickerstaff right now would be my pick for Coach of the Year. I think he's done an absolutely tremendous job in Detroit. And honestly, I definitely did not expect this turnaround from the Pistons, but I expected Bickerstaff to go in there and kind of change the culture of this team and sort of instill a mentality of winning basketball. I felt like when he got hired last year or in the offseason, he was a great hire for them. I thought he was I don't know if you I wouldn't say great, but I thought he was good enough in Cleveland. I thought he was good in Cleveland. Obviously, they have Kenny Atkinson now. Not gonna look back on that. Kenny Atkinson has been awesome. But I do think JB Bickerstaff should be the coach of the year. He's just been so great in instilling that kind of like hard-nosed defensive culture back into Detroit, and that's been awesome to see. And speaking of some more players that have been playing great as of late, Tobias Harris averaging almost 19 points a game, shooting 60% and 43% from three in his last 8 games. Again, just this whole Pistons team up and down the roster has been great. Another note is that the last 8 games and the last 8 wins have kind of been they've kind of been like blowouts. I mean, their closest game was a 5-point win to the Raptors. Other than that, they've only had in these 8 games, they've only had 2 single digit point margin games to the Raptors, and I'm not sure what the other one was. But their average margin of victory has been 16.5 points per game in their last 8, which has been awesome. And before the game last night against the Celtics, they were 0-6 against the top two teams in the Eastern Conference, the Cavaliers and the Celtics. Now, obviously, I'm not gonna look at this and say I'm concerned about the Pistons. You can do nothing but be, not surprised. Surprised isn't the right word, but feeling great about what the Pistons are doing. I obviously don't think they're, in contention this year. I mean, that would be crazy to, that'd be a little bit ridiculous to say. I do think it's interesting that they are 0-6 against those top two teams, but they're 2-1. They played the Knicks twice this season, or sorry, three times this season. And they're 2-1 against them. Both wins have been in New York in Madison Square Garden. And like I said, the Pistons would be playing New York right now if the season were to end today, which, obviously it doesn't. But that would be an interesting series just based on obviously the way the Pistons are playing, but kind of the opposite trending. The Knicks are kind of trending in the opposite direction, in the sense that their defense has been really, really lackluster. Not only the last few games, but this season. And that's been a main concern with them, and that's kind of why I, as well as among kind of the consensus of the league, don't really view them as contenders this season. Now, I will note about the Knicks, there was a notification came out today. Shams reported that Mitchell Robinson is expected to be back. I believe it was this tomorrow, Friday. He's questionable. I believe that game is against the Grizzlies. And then Sunday they play, yes, they play the Grizzlies Friday night, and then Sunday they're playing Miami, and he's traveling with the team on that road trip. So like I said before in the other episode, or in Tuesday's episode, I don't think Mitchell Robinson, I don't view Mitchell Robinson as the season changing piece or the winning piece of the puzzle, if you will. I think there's still a lot more that the Knicks front office need to do. There's still maybe one or two more moves to be made to make the Knicks a serious contender that I know they could be. Kind of wrapping up with the Pistons. Next game is Friday against the Nuggets. That'll be an interesting game. That'll be another kind of test game. I mean, in the last eight games, I don't want to take anything away from the Pistons, but these last eight games, I mean, they played the Bulls twice, the Hornets, the Sixers. But they've had some, I mean, they beat the Celtics, they beat the Clippers at home. They've had some impressive wins. They're gonna have the Nuggets at home. That'll be an interesting game. That'll be that. I'm looking forward to that game. Tomorrow night's looking like a great night of basketball. I'm gonna talk a little bit more about the Celtics and the Cavs game tomorrow night or Friday night. You're listening to this on Friday. But yeah, man, I mean, watch out for the Pistons. I seriously think that they are not a team you want to see right now if you're the Knicks or even the Celtics or the Cavs in the second round. I shouldn't even be looking that far down the road, but yeah, man, the Pistons have been awesome. And I'm not going to use the word bittersweet because it seems a little wrong, but it's just, as a Bulls fan, it kind of sucks to see like the Pistons that have been in the same position as the Bulls for the last 5 years, just the bottom, not bottom feeders, but just bad teams in the Eastern Conference. Now the Pistons are having a resurgence because they have a competent front office that was able to recognize we need to rebuild over the last 4 years instead of playing for the 10th seed of the play-in tournament. And I mean, I don't want to talk about the Bulls on this podcast because that would be boring and pointless, but it's a little bit like a knife in the stomach, I guess, if you will, as a Bulls fan. But that's not taking anything away from the Pistons, obviously. They've been great. They've been super fun to watch. And that's definitely a team to look out for down the stretch of the season. So kind of switching tones here, the next team I wanted to talk about was the Philadelphia 76ers. And obviously going in the complete opposite direction of the Pistons. Last night they played the Knicks in MSG and lost 110 to 105. That was their ninth straight loss. Currently they sit as a 12 seed in the East, and they're sitting 2.5 games behind the Bulls for the 10th spot. of the play-in. And like I said before, I mean, the Bulls, the Nets, the Sixers, maybe even the Raptors are all within arm's reach of that 10 spot, and it's kind of feels like a battle of like, no, you take it. No one really wants to be the 10 seed, I guess, except for my Bulls. I said I wasn't going to talk about the Bulls, but I mean, AK literally said this season will be a success if we made the play-in. That's all I have to say. I'd want to be done talking about them. But back to the Sixers, their ninth straight loss last night. On top of that, I keep saying I'm not going to talk about the Bulls, but the Bulls beat the Sixers on Monday, by 32 points, and that was in Philadelphia. That was just an absolute disaster. I mean, they were down 50 at one point. That the final score, the 32-point deficit, doesn't even tell the entire story. And it's just tough. I mean, like, obviously you have to start with Embiid. He's played 19 games this season. I don't even care about his stats. I'll say that he's shooting career lows, and all of his shooting splits are career lows. But I mean, the man isn't healthy. He's playing on one leg. I mean, I don't care about the stats. In my opinion, they need to shut down Joel Embiid for the rest of the season. I mean, you don't even want to be playing him in the first place because you shouldn't be wanting to win games right now. You should be wanting to get a better draft pick. And you cannot be risking him getting even more injured. I don't know what the Knicks tend to do, or not the Knicks, what the Sixers even intend to do with him in the offseason or going forward. I'm thinking this is going to have to be his last year as a Sixer. My opinion, he needs to just be shut down for the rest of the season. Just cut your losses at this point. And yeah, man, it's been brutal to watch. I mean, I also obviously have to talk about Paul George. He had 25 last night against the Knicks. I don't really care, to be honest. It's the most points he's had in the month of February. He's also shooting just bad, 43% from the field, 35.5% from three. That's his career lows since his rookie season. Just averaging 16.2 points per game in 38 games played. I mean, he's just been such a disappointment. I don't want to get too much into Paul George because everyone who's listening to this knows that Paul George is bad at basketball. Not bad at, I shouldn't say that, but he's been bad this season. I can't be saying that a player in the NBA is bad at basketball, but Paul George has been disappointing this season. He said on his podcast he was going to stop posting to focus on, quote, winning a championship. His exact quote from that podcast was, quote, "I want to let the Podcast P family know that after today's episode with Dwight, I plan to take a break from the pod just to focus on getting my body right, getting mentally right, and help this squad make a push towards our goal to finish the season and give ourselves a chance to be in contention to compete for a championship." And end quote. And obviously, this is not, the Sixers are not going to make, they're not going to win a championship. They're not even going to make the playoffs. I mean, I don't, I'm not going to say like, oh, good on Paul George for, good on Paul George for stopping his pod. I don't really care about that. I mean, he was getting clowned for it, so good for him, I guess. It's just what's been happening on the court has been so concerning to me. And not even that, but it's just the contract. I mean, he's getting paid $50 million until 2027. And in 2027, in that summer, he has a $56 million player option for the 2027-28 season, which he's obviously going to pick up. Who in their right mind would turn down $56 million? And at that point, he would be 37 years old. And it's just, there's nothing you could do with him. I mean, do you want to trade him? I mean, you'd be lucky to get a first round pick for him, and you can't trade him with the contract. It's just a disaster for the Sixers right now. I kind of feel for Nick Nurse a little bit, just because I like him as a coach. I like him as a guy. I just the situation that he's that's going on right now. I mean, he's not winning games. The injuries are out of his control. I mean, who's on the court is out of his control. It's just a disaster happening in Philadelphia. And like the only real bright spot, I can look at on this team, or the only real area on this of this team I can look at and get excited for is, I guess, outside of Tyrese Maxey, but like I said before, he's been a little bit disappointing this season. He's averaging 27 points per game, which has been okay for him, but it's in 38 minutes per game, which is his career high. I mean, obviously he's gonna have to play a lot of minutes with, Embiid being out pretty much the whole season. Jared McCain being out. I'm gonna get to Jared McCain a little bit later, but him being out for the season, Paul George only playing 38 games to date. Shooting splits again, career lows since his rookie season. I mean, 44% from the field, 35% from three. He shot 0 for 10 from three last night against the Knicks. It's just like he took 32 shots. I mean, what are you gonna do? Because he's all you really got on the offensive side of the ball. At this point, you kind of just have to call this season a wrap and just let him chuck up whatever shot he'd like. I guess the only other bright spot outside of that would be Jared McCain that I look at that I can look at this team and get really excited for. And he's out for the season. I mean, he's out for the season with a knee injury. And I mean, he's been out for the season. This is nothing new. But I guess my other thing I wanted to talk about a little bit was I wanted to talk about Gershon Yabusele. He's been pretty good this season. He's been averaging, 10.5 points a game, 5.5 rebounds a game, shooting 51% from the field, and shooting 39% from three, which I was surprised to see. But he's been good this season. He's been fine. He's been kind of a young bright spot that I've been happy to see play well. But man, I just remember watching this team beat the Celtics on Christmas Day, and I mean, even then, like, I there was really no hope for this team anyway. But I mean, even then, against the Celtics on Christmas Day, they were 11-17. I mean, a weak Eastern Conference at that time. I mean, they were 3-14 to start the season, but at that time, I was like, this team can make a comeback just because of how weak the Eastern Conference is. And to be honest with you, the Eastern Conference has not gotten any weaker, or any stronger, sorry. The Sixers side has gotten significantly worse. And yeah, this team is going to miss the playoffs. They should hope to miss the playoffs. Like I said before, Joel Embiid should be shut down for the season. And there's just not much that I'm getting excited for with this team. They play Golden State on Saturday night on ABC. Golden State should win that game. That's actually the other team I wanted to talk about briefly was the Warriors. I'm pretty high. I've been pretty high on the Warriors as of late. They're on a 5-game winning streak. They've won 7 of the last 8. All of those 8 games have been since the Jimmy Butler trade. They've won 7 of them. Steph has been playing absolutely phenomenal. As I'm recording this, they've wrapped up their game against the Magic, in which Steph had 56. He hit 12 threes. I mean, just incredible. I will admit I was a little bit down on Steph. I was a little bit worried about him in the towards the beginning of the season, towards the middle of the season. Just because his production and his splits weren't where they used to be. And he just wasn't looking like the same Steph Curry that we know and love. And he's averaging 31 points per game in their last 8 games since the Jimmy Butler trade, which has just been awesome to see. I for one, I mean, I knew like he was the All-Star games in San Francisco. He's gonna make the All-Star team. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that, like, or not agree with that, but the sense that I don't know if he deserved to be an All-Star. I think that there were better players that have been better than him this season that were a little bit more deserving, but again, he's averaging 31 in his last 8. Can't really say much about that. Jimmy Butler, he's been struggling a little bit. He's only averaged 16 points a game, shooting an abysmal 7% from behind the line in his 8 games as a Warrior. But I mean, they're 7-1, and that's all you can ask. And it's not necessarily an incredibly weak 7-1. I mean, the one loss was in Dallas. I want to say that was, I guess it wasn't. They still weren't very healthy. I mean, Kyrie had 42 points. But other than that, I mean, they beat the Bucks in Milwaukee. They beat Houston in Houston. They beat Sacramento. They beat Dallas again, and they just beat Orlando tonight. So with behind Curry's 56, obviously. So I mean, there have been really fun to watch, and right now they've jumped up to the 7 seed in the Western Conference. I mean that whole 6 through 10, even like 6 through I don't really want to consider the Phoenix Suns to be contenders for the play-in, but those 5 teams in the West there, that is just a gauntlet of teams. Minnesota's down 10 right now, I believe, but they're tied at 15 and a half games out of first with the Warriors right now at 7 and 8. But Warriors are half a game back from the Clippers at 6. They currently sit at 7, so they'd be hosting the first play-in game. But this Warriors team, I really like to see play. I mean, Jimmy hasn't been great on the offensive side of the ball, but since the Jimmy Butler trade, in these 8 games, the Warriors are third in defensive efficiency at 108. So that's been really awesome to see. Not only that from Steph, but Quinton Post had 18 points in 24 minutes tonight off the bench. That was cool to see. Quinton Post, I think, not he didn't get a lot of criticism, but the Warriors got a lot of criticism about not going out and getting a big man at the deadline. They're just a little bit of a small team, and I think Quinton Post kind of needs he's gonna need to step up. They're gonna need him to step up. Obviously, you have Draymond, who, he's a forward. He's not a center. But I guess maybe he's a center, but you know what I mean. Like guys that aren't 6'6", 6'7". But that was good to see from Post. Pods didn't have a great game. Jimmy Butler again at 5 points on 1 for 7 shooting. But again, that they've been winning games, and they've been winning games because of the defensive side of the ball in their last 8 games since Jimmy Butler. So that's been really cool to see. I mean, this team, I could say this for almost anyone, but I can't see a world where you would be, if you're the OKC Thunder and you have one of the best regular seasons of all time and you're sitting at the 1 seed and your reward for doing so is playing a Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green led team in the first round as an eight, if they're the 8 seed. I mean, same thing goes for like seeing a fully healthy Dallas Mavericks team in the first round. It's just even the Minnesota Timberwolves are a threat. I mean, it's just 1 through 10, maybe 1 through 9 or one, I don't know. But like I'm gonna say 1 through 10 is are serious threats in the Western Conference, and that's cool to see. Adam Silver, kind of changing gears. Adam Silver, not perfect, obviously. I could talk a little bit about the All-Star game, in the sense that it was just a total disaster, and it was just so boring to watch. And like honestly, I don't really understand. I guess I understand the thought process behind the 4-team kind of tournament format, but I think they need to go back. I want them to go back to just the classic East versus West. They're throwing out this idea about, USA versus the world teams, which I don't know. I'm of the opinion, and I'm a little bit not biased, but like I give more favor to just kind of keeping it simple and not overcomplicating stuff like this, like stuff like the All-Star game, in the sense that I just wish they would go back to just East versus West. The main problem with the All-Star game that people have been saying from the beginning, they haven't been mad at the format of the game. They haven't been mad that they certainly didn't ask for a for 10-minute basketball games. I mean, I saw something where, like, in the 3 hour or 3.5 hour broadcast of the All-Star game tournament thing, there was like 40 minutes of actual 30, 40 minutes of actual basketball being played, which is just insane to me. I'm of the opinion that they need to go back to just classic East versus West. Captains pick their teams. I get the whole tribute to TNT having the guys, Chuck and Ernie and Shaq draft their teams and whatnot, but it should like Team LeBron or whatever, Team Tatum, I don't know, whoever you wanna do, just draft your teams, Team Giannis, I don't know. Two best guys, draft your teams, East versus West. And again, the biggest problem that fans have with the All-Star game is that the players don't try, and that's because there's no incentive to winning the game. And so what they need to do, what Adam Silver needs to do, is add an incentive to winning the game. I'm of the opinion that obviously you don't want to just give the guys money because, like, oh, if you win the All-Star game, each of you get $200,000. Like, I think that'd be stupid. I'm of the opinion that either winning team gets home court advantage in the finals, or even do like, I don't know, like winning, like each player gets $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 to donate to a charity of their choice. Like just something that will make the players want to win any more than they already do, because then no one, like the vets and the guys who have been here the longest, do not really care about the All-Star game or winning the All-Star game. So that's my beef with the All-Star game. I kind of got off track pretty bad there. I don't even know what I was talking about. I think we can jump to the final sort of segment. And that was going to be talking about kind of previewing this game tomorrow night between the Cavs, Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Boston Celtics. So Cavs for the Celtics tomorrow night on ESPN at 6:30. Not giving betting advice, but Boston are the 2.5 point favorites right now. The game is in Boston, so that's something to keep in mind. And yeah, man, I'm really, really looking forward to this game. I mean, I'll definitely be watching the whole thing, through and through. I mean, Boston leads the series this season 2-1. This will be the last time they face each other until, in my opinion, the Eastern Conference Finals. But that's another discussion for another day for playoff predictions. But it's gonna be a great game. All these games have been decided by one of these games decided by 3 points, by 4 points, by 7 points. So they've been competitive games until down the stretch. A couple of players I wanted to highlight. First of all, the injury report: Cornette, Jaylen Brown, and Jrue Holiday all questionable. I'm assuming they're gonna play. I don't see a world in which they don't play, especially Jaylen Brown and Jrue Holiday. I mean, you kind of have to have your guys, top guys, playing this game. If not, Adam Silver would pull some dark magic or something to make him play. But yeah, I mean, starting with the Cavs, I mean, they've won 8 straight. They've won 12 out of their last 13. They've been playing great basketball. Donovan Mitchell in the 3 games against the Celtics, he's averaged 34 points. So I'm expecting him to continue that tomorrow night. And for the Celtics, I mean, obviously the injury concerns, not much of a concern, but like they have the Cleveland has a clean slate in terms of questionable guys. Boston has been surprisingly kind of not bad, but just kind of meh at home this year. They're 18 and 10 at home in a city and in an arena that is always gonna be hopping, always gonna be electric. I mean, I obviously the game it's gonna be electric tomorrow night. The fans are gonna show out. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be a great environment. But I mean, Celtics are they've won their last six, or they had won their last six until dropping that 20-point game, 20-point loss to the Pistons last night or Wednesday night. And they've won their 10 of their last 11 before that loss. So kind of in a similar boat as the Cavs in terms of being hot. If I had to predict this game right now, I would say that actually, before I get into my prediction, I wanted to talk a little bit more about the Celtics. Jaylen Brown, I said, was questionable. He's probably going to play. I don't see a world in which he doesn't play. He missed the game against Detroit, but he's been Averaging 22 points a game, he's been a little bit concerning to me. I mean, shooting a career low from three at 31.7%, averaging just 16 and a half points a game against the Celtics. I mean, it's a two-game sample size, but I don't know. I do think Jaylen Brown will show up for this game. There's not a whole lot to be concerned about there. I mean, Drew Holiday, on the other hand, he's also questionable. Again, I assume he's going to play. He's had kind of a down year in terms of his efficiency, especially from three. Teams have kind of been leaving him open. Just had 4 points against the Pistons last night in 31 minutes. I mean, the more I look at this box score, the more I look at it as, okay, this is kind of just a scrap game for the Celtics. I mean, just get healthy for the for this for the for the Cavs on Friday night. But he's averaging just 10 points, 10, 11 points a game this season, four boards, three assists. Nothing too special from him. I mean, obviously the defense is always going to be there. He's been good, great on the defensive side of the ball. He always will be. He always has been. But in terms of predicting this game, I think Boston's going to come out on top. I think they're going to even the season series at two apiece. I mean, you can have, in my opinion, I would pick the Boston. I would give the Celtics a little bit of an edge just because they did it last year in terms of winning the Eastern Conference. But I mean, it's hard to get more of an equal matchup between these teams and more of a great matchup when it comes to predicting what the ECF will be down the stretch this season in the playoffs. But I think that the Celtics will win this game. They're 5-1 against the top three teams in the East, excluding themselves, obviously, against the Cavs and the Knicks. The Celtics are a team that shows up for this game or shows up for these type of games. So I think they're going to get the job done tomorrow night. I'm not going to give you a score prediction or anything, but you can take my word. Celtics will get it done in Boston. All right, I think that'll wrap us up here tonight. Kind of talked about all the teams I wanted to talk about. We got a really good weekend of basketball ahead of us, some great matchups. So I'm looking forward to seeing you guys again Tuesday. Yeah, man, I mean, eventually we'll be doing some playoff predictions, stuff like that. As I'm recording this, by the way, Michigan just hit a game-winning three against Rutgers, which is kind of sad to see. Rutgers really needed this win. They were up by 13 and really needed this win in the Big Ten. They've been having a bad season. But N'Amari Burnett, game-winning three, 20 points tonight. Michigan wins 84-82. I love college basketball, guys, so let me know if you want to hear some more college basketball or anything else. I plan on doing a lot of stuff on the NBA draft, prospect research and whatnot. So yeah, man, we got an exciting weekend of NBA hoops, college hoops, everything hoops. So yeah, just DM the Dimer Pod, the Dimer Podcast on Instagram or anything, or Twitter. If you guys want us to talk about something, whatever you guys want to hear, like questions you have, hypotheticals, anything like that. But yeah, man, peace out. I'll see you guys next time. Always good to hop on here and talk about ball, talk about basketball, the NBA, whatever it may be. So again, let me know if you want me to, whatever you want me to talk about, whether it's more college stuff, more draft stuff, questions, hypotheticals, and whatnot. Yeah, peace out.